Commodore is keeping up with you.
No computer for you. You, back to the line. Dr. Absolito. Man behind the machine. Absolito. Commodore, the next generation. February 15th, TPUG meeting featuring Fuzzy Bad. We're talking about TRSE, the language they use to create Light Cycles game for VIC-20s, Commodore 64, and PET. So feel free to join us for a great presentation and conversation with Fuzzy Bad, kicking off Commodore, the next generation.
Commodore, the next generation celebrating featuring the vibrant minds, pioneering programmers, ingenious engineers, and trailblazing individuals who are shaping the next chapter in Commodore computing. Experience a symphony of ideas as young innovators showcase their talents, pushing the boundaries of technology inspired by the legendary Commodore legacy. Immerse yourself in a journey through time and technology, exploring the evolution of Commodore machines and witnessing the fusion of classic principles with cutting-edge advancements. Engage with the brilliant minds behind modern Commodore projects, witness live coding sessions, and gain insights into the fusion of nostalgia and innovation propelling Commodore into the future. Highlights include keynote addresses from industry leaders, interactive workshops, and a showcase of projects that honor the spirit of Commodore while embracing the possibilities of today's computing landscape. Network with like-minded enthusiasts, share stories, and forge connections with the vanguard of the Commodore community, ensuring that the legacy lives on through the passion and creativity of the next generation. Commodore, the next generation promises to be a celebration of innovation, collaboration, and the enduring spirit of curiosity that continues to define the world of Commodore computing. Don't miss this unique convergence of past, present, and future.
You're listening to Man Behind the Machine. Hi, how are you, sir?
I'm all right. Yourself?
Good. Just chilling at the beach.
Oh, well, that's a good thing to do. Yeah. Which one did you go to?
I had a question about the Amiga OS 3.0 and 4.0. I know that there's certain kind of architecture that it supports, that you need an Amiga 1 5000, right? And some other architecture.
Right, so but anything past 3.1 is going to use the different chipset.
Okay.
So it's made for like the 4000, 3000, or if you have like a special upgraded card for it. Like some people, you know, can run 3.5. I think 3.5 actually had some backwards compatibility to the old one, but it doesn't run very good unless you have like an upgrade processor card for your Amiga.
So, from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, Raspberry Pi is the only other system that will run Amiga. You can't do it on a PC or a Mac?
Yeah, you can run on a PC.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, Amiga OS runs on PC?
Well, I mean, it runs in an emulator on the PC.
What's the emulator?
WinUAE.
That's what I thought. WinUAE. Okay. And can you run it on Linux?
Yeah, They have WinUAE for like everything.
No, do they have Amiga OS for Linux?
Well, I mean, you just run it in the UAE software. I mean, it's not going to be called WinUAE in Linux. I think it's just called something UAE. But yeah, you can emulate the Amiga on anything.
And how does it run on UAE?
Really well.
Yeah.
In fact, usually when I'm going to do, like, if I'm going to install and set up a hard drive for an Amiga, I do it on the PC. I set the PC up for the same settings that to match exactly the hardware that it's going to go in, so I know everything works. And then you tell it to plug that hard drive in directly to the emulator, and then you can just actually use the fake floppies and all that stuff to do your install and get it all set up and working. And once you have everything in it, because it's all, then you can actually use drag and drop stuff to just literally copy files over to it from your PC. And once you have that hard drive all set up the way you want it, you can plug it into the actual hardware and you're done.
Oh, okay. So it is possible to run it on a PC.
Yeah, you run it on anything. The Pi is just convenient. And if you have the Pi 400, it's just like having an Amiga.
Unbelievable. Did you see the video I posted about some guy developed a floppy drive that you plug in for a USB in your computer, and it reads and transfers the Amiga files?
Oh, that's cool.
It's really cool. I don't know if you saw that.
Before, you needed the Cat Weasel for that.
Cat Weasel?
Oh, that's how you used to have to do it. You had to have a special card to be able to put in your PC to read Amiga discs.
Yeah. Do you have that?
No. Nope, never had it. I didn't get an Amiga until I was older, because I really wanted one when I was a kid, but we were poor, man.
And you have your 1200 still?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's in a box. It ain't coming out until the kids are gone.
Well, like I said, if you ever...
this restaurant, though, yeah. So... Oh.
Sec is available free.
Yeah,
it's public use.
Yeah, okay. You go there and you look up, just Google Tosec Amiga and boom, you'll find something that's probably around 26 to 30 gigs of Amiga stuff.
And do the files say which version of Amiga they're compatible?
Most of them are 500s. And then otherwise they'll say AGA on them, which means that you need the 1200 to run it. But since you're going to emulate it anyway, it'll, you may not emulate it. I mean, if you run it on actual hardware, you can.
Amiga 500?
Yeah. Most things are Amiga 500. ECS was 500 and AGA was 1200.
Cool. So that's available. That's free.
Yeah, because it's all past its copyright dates and none of it's maintained anymore. The only stuff that is maintained is the OS. But you can still get it in the TOSEC, so then nobody goes after them for it, so not a big deal. The ROM, the actual...
Has there ever been a successful emulation of the TOSEC? Maybe.
Maybe. It's hard to say because you still have to have hardware that does the video stuff.
Right.
It's not like you can just emulate, right. You can just emulate it because you still have to have hardware that does video in and video out. Or, well, the video out is there, but you still have to have something that does video in and all that. And I don't know if there's anything that emulates that. I mean, you can get video input USB devices, but whether or not you'd be able to actually use that with some kind of an emulation, I don't know.
Well, essentially, wouldn't you need the operating system to run the toaster?
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. You still have to have the hardware. I mean, you can get the video toaster software off of the TOSEC. That's on there. That's all on there. The software is all there. But it's the hardware that you need to run it. Like, if you have a video toaster and the hardware, then you can just get the software off of the TOSEC and put it in there and you're good. But as far as actually emulating a toaster, I don't know. Like I said, you'd have to Google that one. Because you still have to have some piece of hardware that does what the toaster did, which was to have video input into the computer.
Okay. Interesting. So it's very complicated.
It is complicated.
Because you have Lightwave that you're running. Lightwave is a program that I'm sure that you could probably emulate. But you need the Genlock to connect to it.
Or you can just buy Lightwave or use it. They still make it.
Yeah, but not Lightwave for Amiga.
Oh, no, it's PC.
Yeah. I'm not interested in Lightwave for PC.
I bet not.
If I wanted it, I would have gotten it.
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely use the video editing. Yeah, all that stuff will run on there just fine.
Right. You know, our Hollywood producer. There's a program that I have for Amiga 500 that's like that. Hollywood producer or something. It's, you know, you could put together clips and videos and text. It was very innovative for its time, Amiga.
Yeah. Yeah, all that stuff will work as long as you feed it video. If you need the toaster to actually record something, then you're going to have to try to find a way to emulate that. And that, I don't know if they will. Linux might have something, but it's something that you're going to have to Google and find out.
Dude.
All right, yep.
Bye. Obsoleto.
The remarkable story of the return is not so much about all that he did, and he did a very great deal. It was about what God, and then to draw some conclusions with regards to the seed.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, how you doing, bro? How's it going?
It's going loud. I'm here with the band next door.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, just got off the Bill Hurd meeting. It was great.
Oh, that was good, man. Yeah, sorry, bro. I'm stuck here at the studio until later on tonight. We're working on a project, so.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I just figured I'd call you. I got a few minutes, so. I wanted to touch base. Yeah, you doing?
Yeah, how was it?
It was great. A lot of different memories of Commodore and then Amiga and that whole era of computing. So it was just, he was taking any question and it was a lot of reminiscing, you know.
Awesome, man.
Obsoleto. Yeah, bro. So. What's that?
I said, what a great goal for you as well. What a great goal, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, talk to the icons who created stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's fun to get, you know, and to run into them at the show. I ran into Bill in Chicago last year.
You were saying?
Yeah, so that was nice when he showed up.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, You guys are upholding the history. You guys are doing a wonderful job, you know, because we got a real family. You know, like, we're a family of people that,
that's
like...
Right. No, that's great.
You know, I don't know how to explain it. Not to get mush...
People that know that word, you know, it's like, it's, you know, it's just one of the things, man. 50 years of history, nobody even know the count or basically created it all, you know?
Right.
And there's certain programs that, once again, the Commodore kind of created that, you know? And... it's like the toaster. Nobody's gonna know about the toaster, you know. So.
Yeah, that's how we started doing video and graphics and music, you know.
Yeah.
On the, you know.
The toaster was way better. I keep telling people, man. It's one of them things. It was just because it was Final Cut, which is like the equivalent of.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Final Cut is the equivalent of. Basically, in music, what they have, what is that one program? I can't think of it. Is, you know, but anyways, yes. So it's good that you guys are talking history and being able to keep it alive.
Definitely, so, you know, keeping the and recording these, archiving them, you know, because now it's part of the historical record, you know, and a lot of this technology is gone, you know, like most technology becomes obsolete. So to talk to the engineers and the people is cool. And then I got Fuzzy Bad in February is our next guest. And then the Fuzzy Bad.
Okay, who is he now?
She's my friend. She's a programmer from Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or the Pet. And then I got to play her game. So we got her in February.
Awesome.
And then the two legendary... Commodore 64 musicians Chris Hasselbeck and Jaron Tell.
Oh, alright.
And those are the big, when you think about the biggest names in Commodore songwriting, aside from Dr. Obsoleto, I'm just kidding, it's Chris and Jaron.
Okay.
And I'm good friends with Jaron. He's from the Netherlands and he's Danish. Or Dutch, I'm sorry. Excuse me if I get that wrong, I apologize. But Jaron and then Chris. And that's coming up, so.
J-E-R. Okay.
Yeah, every major game that you've ever imagined, like Outrun. Do you remember Outrun with the, the car game? Race car game?
Yeah,
that's his soundtrack playing there.
Cool.
He's done a lot of game music. So I'm going to have him. And I connected with him recently, and he was just thrilled. He's like, anything you want, anything. And I said, let's make this happen. And he wants to come to the United States at some point. So, bro, I just wanted to connect with Detroit, see what's going on. And
at the studio tonight, finishing up a couple things. I got some exciting things going on ourselves. Kind of working late night tonight, so you know, sorry I couldn't listen in, but I will definitely listen into the podcast. I'm sure that you recorded.
Well, please, Detroit Obsoleto, that has gotten the highest listens recently.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So thanks for sharing. Keep sharing, because. Hey.
I will always do that.
That's cool, you know, like get it out and
get the
word out, you know. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet, man. All right.
So you're working on real tapes? Real sound?
I wish. Doing the digital thing. We're actually I'm actually doing a bunch of paperwork right now, but we're getting our little season ready here because we got a new it's going to be an open mic thing here. We're going to have different talent come out. We're going to record them, and then we're going to be able to use it for bookings, but also we're going to use it to promote them. So, pretty exciting.
Motor City, huh?
Discomfort. Motor City, man.
When people say Motor City music, what comes to mind?
I'm sorry, again?
Motor City music.
What comes to my mind?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the MC5. From Lincoln Park. I mean, everything. I mean, there's all kinds of music. I mean, it depends on what level you want to get to. You know, I mean, it's like everything from Parliament Funk to Motown. You can, obviously MC5, Iggy Pop, house music. You know, you got Juan Atkins. You know, Mike H. Ness Clark, and all the fellas. You know, Scott. Just tons and tons. I was thinking one day what I'm going to do is I'm going to list all the music actually from Detroit, and it affects its head on people, and then there's probably about a good 150 artists that are in and around Detroit that affect people on a daily basis. A lot of people forget. Was another one? They always forget. What was his name? I can't think of his name now. Well, I mean, soundtrack to Ray Parker Jr.? And everybody forgets him, but he's from Detroit. And then there's another one. There's one that everybody always forgets. I can't remember him now. Even I forgot him.
Cybertron.
Cybertron. There's always one hit wonders, man. You know, from here, which is kind of cool. And then there's a lot of bands that people just don't even know about that are just awesome, man.
I used to enjoy meeting the techno guys in Miami from Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we shared a hotel together. We were on the same floor. And they gave me a bunch of their swag. They gave me, like, shirts and labels and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And that was cool, you know, because I like that, the fact that there's a Detroit techno. There's something called Detroit techno.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
The guys now, they carry the name Detroit Techno Militia.
Yeah.
Over in Australia.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, Soul T. Lender.
Really?
Oh, yeah, right now. They're just, in fact, my boy lives over in Australia. I was trying to get him to hook up over there and see him, but they're actually in Melbourne, and he lives in Canberra, Australia. So they couldn't make it. The next time they said he's going to be looking out and trying to get up there. But yeah, they've been down there for the last, I think they've been down there for a week. I think they're doing a tour over there.
Woo! Are you telling me that there's a Detroit scene in Australia?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're there right now. Oh, huge in Australia. Well, Australia's huge because of, a lot of people don't know about the previous Sixto. So, Sixto is like major in Australia, and he's like the South Africa, and he's the guy who invented their ceremony. Like, one of their big songs over there was like, Sugar Man was what they lived by. You know, it's part of their culture. It's like,
is this an example of exporting Detroit to the world?
Oh, yeah, man.
I mean, this is incredible.
Yeah, we do that well, music, cars, but we actually put out more music than cars any day. And the guy I was thinking of that I couldn't have earlier, you might remember him. His name is Marshall Crenshaw. Because he's from Detroit, too, Marshall Crenshaw. I mean, but the list goes on and on for days, man. I can literally... They did this one time. They actually had the Metro Times.
Yeah.
They put all the people from Detroit that actually had an influence or any type of music, you know, that's kind of recognized, whether that... Like, there's a lot of local bands, like... I want to say, is it Nuclear Assault or something like that? I forget who it is. There's just different levels of music, you know?
Right.
The Coffin Cats, okay? They're like rockabilly, punk, ska, whatever the fuck you want to call it. But the Coffin Cats, they're from Detroit. And they were actually based around one of Jack White's first bands, which was the Hootenanny Band. What the hell were they called? Hoover and the Peas. So it's like you have just like an entourage of different music. And a lot of people don't even know the roots behind it. But that's even more exciting because that adds another 200 or 200 bands to the whole mix. Their paper, which is pretty big, and they listed all the bands that were from Detroit. It was nuts. It covered full pages. Nobody can say that. You can't go anywhere. You know? I mean, Chicago, they got the Smashing Pumpkins, a couple other people. Chicago.
Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in the cage.
With Detroit, you get different genres. Jazz, blues, rock, garage, whatever the hell you want to call it, it usually came from here.
Yeah, that's why
teachings. It's like a lot of teachings, like you might have got like Southern blues, but then you had like Detroit blues. And a lot of times the Blues ain't even really as starting here in Detroit. A lot of people came here to the map.
What about Guns N' Roses? Were they big in Detroit?
No. I like Guns N' Roses when they first came out. I liked all the bands when they first came out. Usually when they came out with their second album, I didn't like them after that. So, except for the MC5, they was in good albums. Iggy Pop's good too. I like Iggy Pop because he always changes. So he's always got something different going on. And he'll put out a lot of albums. So if you hate one of them, you'll love all the other 10. That's the way it is with Iggy.
Yeah, and then I heard that Richie Houghton used to sneak over from Winnipeg, Canada, sneak over to Detroit because he heard somebody known as Juan Atkins or Jeff Mills was playing, so he wanted to hear the sound.
Yeah, he sneaked over from Windsor, though. That's our suburb. That's South Detroit, by the way.
Oh, Windsor.
That's a little joke. People don't know that. It's like, you hear that song from Journey when they say South Detroit? Well, there's no South Detroit. There's Southwest Detroit. That's kind of where I'm at.
Oh, yeah. Born and raised in South Detroit. Took the midnight.
Yeah, actually, that's one of the conspiracies nobody knows about. But it's true. That South Detroit is Canada.
Oh.
Yeah, because the
X-Men was
in.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, South Detroit is actually Windsor, Canada. So, yeah. Actually, Richie Houghton came from South Detroit over to Detroit to find out about Juan Atkins, Jeff Mills. You know. The list of DJs goes on for another 200. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like you just hear about those DJs. Like, you hear about Kevin Sonnison. But, I mean, you'll hear about, like, Eminem, but you'll never hear about Jay Dilla. You know? And you'll never hear about Esham. And you might hear the Insane Clown Posse, but you might not hear of, like, the Boondock Saints or whoever they want to be, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, it just goes on and on, man. It's, I'll give you a case of boy, they don't like it either because they kind of broke off the label. But you've heard of Insane Clown Posse, then you have Twisted, you know, just as big on their own little level. And they do some their own level of entrepreneurs. That's great. I mean, they do, like, comic book festivals, and they just make big. It's funny, too, because, like, the Insane Clown Posse were all about wrestling. They mixed music into it, but then the music became bigger than the wrestling.
And they did their own stuff in the beginning, right?
They still wrestle, like, Violent J. Yeah. They go in the ring, and they're wrestlers. That's what they do wrestling shows. They have wrestling shows at their events. That's what they were, wrestlers. Singing stuff took off bigger than the wrestling, so they just stayed in the singing gig, and now they just do wrestling every so often. They still wrestle. They actually, like, you have, and I'll give you know, Jack White still plays baseball, and he's really good at it.
I've been seeing reels of Detroit comedy lately, and it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. And it's all. They got good comedy. Yeah, really good.
No, seriously. Yeah, like a guy in a mini cart. You know, like the Mario Kart? This guy's driving a mini cart in the street in Detroit. Anyways, that's on my reel now.
Yeah.
You know, but anyways, it's cool to see that, you know, because there's a definite, there's definite kind of freedom. You know, there's a definite swagger to Detroit, you know, and survival, you know, if I want to visit a dystopian city, and I want to visit all the sites of RoboCop.
Yeah, you better get
it. I want
to
do that.
No,
you know what we got to do? No, you know what we got to do? When I do come out, we should do a video where you follow Dr. Absolito around and we go to the sites for RoboCop.
Yeah, but like I said, it's so weird because now it's so changed.
That's maybe. Okay. You do a split screen. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
You do a split screen.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
People want to see.
My buddy is really good. My friend from France. He always comes in. He's
I like that guy.
He knows, like everywhere that Eminem. time has been shooting these videos. Shit, I don't even know what to say. He's like, go over here, go over there.
Paul and G.
Like, what's up with this?
All in your collaboration.
What?
I got no idea.
You don't want to.
That's great.
Literally, I'm speaking English was from watching 8 Mile. I'm like, come at me. He's like, no. That's how I learned how to speak English, watching 8 Mile. And he's good at it. He don't speak like, you know, with any hard accent. He speaks like he wants to. It's funny.
That's funny.
Imagine me like watching some French like trying to learn France. French.
French.
I'm like, whatever. I know bourgeois. That's probably. You know, croissant. French toast. You like to fuck with them on that. I'm like, French. Yeah. That was a French fry.
Yeah, what do the French think about French fries? Like,
that's what I'm saying. What do they think about, that's what I ask them. What do you think about French fries? Yeah.
Like, if you were to give a French fry from McDonald's and say, this is American. What would they say? Would they say...
split in half because they don't got none of that stuff there.
They don't have that stuff?
No, they don't. He gets all charged up when he gets here because they got all the fast food. Like, you're better off in France. Stop getting this. I don't want this to my system. He's like, he got everything. Your Taco Bell, Arby. He loves Arby's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
oh my God! Wee wee!
Like,
yeah, Mr. Top Hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves it, man.
Oh wow, man! The French,
he
hilarious.
He can't get enough of it. He wants to move to Detroit. That's his entire goal. He
that's
can't
hilarious.
Well, that's the amazing thing. Like I said, when I, you know, I speak with people from all over the world throughout the years, you know.
Yeah.
Their fascination with Detroit and how it is, and how it affects them in their country, and why it did. You know, like I said, there's a movie around Rodriguez Sixto. Sadly, we just buried him this year. But
really?
Nobody really knows the guy unless you know the guy. You definitely know the guy in the '80s unless you happen to know the guy, because basically he was homeless in a sense. But he was still one hell of a musician, and his music affected South Africa so much it was basically their theme song to South Africa. Sugar Man was their like theme song, and. I mean, literally played a song and people were crying and everything over it, you know. And Australia the same way. They absolutely loved him, you know. We never got it. He was like, I guess an alternative version of Bob Dylan, and they just never really signed him or got behind him. That's all they got. But it was just like, and years later they did a movie and they turned out that this guy that they thought was dead was alive. So they put him back on tour, made a bunch of money for the company and him. And, you know,
no, seriously, you know what I want to do? I want to, even if it's just a fantasy, is to go around and record different areas of RoboCop in Detroit.
Whatever you want to, man.
And we'll do a behind the scenes, you know, and, you know, maybe even tie in with the RoboCop statue. Controversy.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, exactly.
You know, tie it in like that.
We should do that. One of the guys finally going home with a railroad cap statue.
Yeah, I'm serious. Yeah.
Series.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know where it happened. Like, they'll talk about it every couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they're going to put it. They were going to stick it in Eastern Market, like, a couple of years ago. They're like, no way. So they're just like, I don't know. It's so funny, though. It's hilarious.
No, seriously. You know, like, even your building. You know, if you can get permission to install it, we can contact the artist and have it installed. And then record it when it comes in.
Yeah.
You know, it is a beauty of a piece. Bro, it is a masterpiece.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a masterpiece of a film.
Again, I saw it a long time ago. I think I saw the first one. I don't know if I saw the second. If there was a third one, probably not.
People talk shit about second and third, but you know what? They're also masterpieces.
Yeah, I'll have to check them out, man. I got to do a RoboCop day.
They even built. Yeah, they built a miniature scale of future Detroit. Yeah. They did a miniature scale of the future of Detroit.
that they were going to rebuild into a utopia. They were going to rebuild it. Anyways, they made a miniature little city.
Okay.
And, you know, you could weave into that storyline, you know, with artificial intelligence or whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, man, like I said, there's stories and stories and stories, man. Motown alone, I mean, there's a lot of people on Motown that people didn't even know about, you know? I mean, there's like, you know, I'll give you one that a lot of people don't know. There's a couple of people that were on Motown that people don't know about. Bruce Willis was on Motown. And Tommy Chong.
Oh.
Yeah, Tommy Chong was on Motown back in the day. He was some kind of like doo-wop, like, you know, like the original like cats that were just, I don't know what Motown like, but it didn't go too far. I forget what the hell they were called though. You'll have to look it up. Tommy Chong on Motown and it would come up his name or something.
Oh, okay.
And it was funny because they made fun of themselves with all the rock tour names. So it was kind of funny, but you'll just have to find that one on your own because people will probably shut us down and get shut down enough on the man behind the machine. So
yeah, I like that.
So they had, like, you gotta change your name, and then I think it was like the Bell Tones or something like that. It was like, Tommy Chong was on Motown. So when he was in town, he always goofed with him. We asked him, like, hey, remember when you played for Motown? And he's like, yeah. So he's got roots here in Detroit.
Didn't they preserve the Motown studios?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's still there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, they built around it. I'm kind of bummed because the Motown itself now, it used to be nice because it was all grass on the front lawn. You just come out and you chill out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But now they have made it all like a concrete jungle. And now they own all the houses on the block. So finally, after all these years, they decided they're going to do some Motown concerts. I'm like, dude, but everybody's dead except for Bruce Willis and East Cap in the grave. You know?
Wow.
Boys to Men, maybe.
So it's a historical landmark.
Oh, big time.
You know?
Sitting right up the street from where my building is, where I work.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, like 2 miles away.
Yeah.
I go up there, it's right there, man. They totally rebuilt the area. They want to put some big theater. I'm like, dude, why don't you do this stuff in the 70s? We could have saved Motown, literally.
So yeah, if you follow Dr. Absolito around and record, are you going to come as VJ Storkenfold or somebody else?
What's that again?
Are you going to come as VJ Storkenfold or somebody else?
I don't know, man. Whatever people want to pay me for.
Yeah. No, but do you only come out as VJ Storkenfold for certain things? What is the prerequisite to put the makeup on?
I don't know. Usually, liquor and women. Not a bad order.
You know what I've been thinking about lately? I know. You know what's crazy? You know what I'm thinking about doing?
Yeah, I usually host stuff because like nobody can host it like that. My new happens to be.
You know what I've been thinking about doing lately?
Yeah.
I want to get in the.
I'll come out and do the shit. I'll be more than happy to do it anytime you want. If you come to Detroit, I'll absolutely walk around whichever way you want.
Okay.
All right? But like this one cat, he wanted me to. I'm producing a new show. And he wants me to be the host, you know, and I'm just like, I'd rather just produce the show right now. And he got all salty. He's like, oh, why not? I'm like, because, man, it's a lot of work, bro. I'd rather just be behind the scenes. Now, maybe down the road, if you want me to come as a special guest, I'll come in and do some stuff like that. But, I mean, and that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, basically on occasions, like when people do the gig for that, you know, that's my boy. Like, they're like family. I've known forever. You know, so I'll do it. Time, it's like if I'm getting booked, that's the way it works. I'll do it, but
you know, Dr. Absolito is very interested in Detroit. He would wear a white lab coat.
And
you thought you came in on a time machine from 1982.
Oh, yeah, you fit right in.
You know.
Like I said, we'll go to the good spots.
Yeah, good. Awesome.
Everything's changed up now. Nobody knows what's going on. So it's like, usually got to
Commodore the next generation. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am Commodore the next generation. Red versus. Yeah.
October, man, is a good time. In the new quarter.
That's awesome.
So we're getting around. Everybody sad in Minnesota last week, or what was. Now all of a sudden you're into them.
Yeah. Red versus blue. You know what I've been thinking about lately? I'm thinking about getting in the cable television business.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, what's good?
You know, look, I don't know. Is terrestrial television dead? And what is the future?
Oh man, it's dead, dude. It's gone. I mean, they're already turning. It's already there, man. It's like between the, you know, digital Netflix bringing it right to the TV, and I mean, what do you really have? I mean, it's like 2, 7, and 4. That was the originals. 50, 56, 62. You know, if you were lucky. And then, I mean, look where we've come. Now it's all just digital. Now it's so funny because they're same with the movies. They don't even send people out to the movies anymore. It is like Beverly Hills Cop 4, where the hell it's at now. They're not even taking you to the movie theater, man. They're keeping you at home, charging you $20 because they know they can get it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you who did this really well was Jerry Springer, because what he did is he took the show. He used to rent the studio and have to, you know, hire everybody. So what he did was he got his own studio. He started producing his own shows. And then there you go. So it was easier to do it that way. Then he sold it on satellite. He got a better money from it. And just do one-off shows. So.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, my remote control has buttons on it. You know, I was thinking yesterday when I was looking at it, I saw there's a Netflix and there's an Amazon Prime button on it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I wanted to ask Detroit this. What does it mean when something on the internet gets on your remote control?
Convenience. That's what it is. I can buy more stuff from Jeff Bezos. That's what that means. Yeah.
Well, no, the fact that we used to have dials on the remote control to press the television.
Yeah.
And now there's a button for an app.
That's it. Like I was talking to my friend right across the room here, they have an attention span of a gnat. Work for it. Build it their way. They will come. Yeah, pressing buttons is the easiest way. Typing into the internet, you know, it's already been history, just the best way.
Voice control.
Voice control.
I never thought in my wildest dreams in 1982, the next generation, I would be talking into a remote and opening the channel. Yeah. Right?
Exactly.
This was Star Trek, bro.
Yeah. I actually, when I started, before I did ATV, I actually did the alternative shopping show because I'm like, why are all these people buying all this jewelry? I'm like, the jewelry, you know, the home shopping club, what the hell they had out there. I'm like, they gotta do something cooler, you know? And what is now the implementation of your remote control button going to Amazon and watching a shopping show and pressing the button and sending it to your doorstep? We actually thought about that with the cable TV show of like people being able to buy it right from the TV channel or off the TV. So
Picked up the other day at the library. I was so proud of him. He picked up the original DVD of Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah.
All the old cartoons, the original ones. Yeah, he picked that up, and then I found Gem and the Holograms.
Oh, there you go.
So, all the old footage. And this way, it's in high format, and I can watch it on 4K. It looks great.
Yeah.
It looks great, bro.
Yeah.
You know? So, keep your DVDs in your physical media.
Definitely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're pumping out nothing. What, 720? I mean, still, they're selling on 4K HD, and they only really pumped on 720. I mean, it's like, talk about a racket, you know?
Right.
But, hey, it sells TVs.
They talked about it years ago, when one would own anything, you know? You won't own your software.
Yeah, actually, I'm really into that, and I understand why. So, we can get into 2 hours of debate on that, why they want to make everybody rent. But that's another discussion in itself. But yeah, man, I mean, when it comes to music, movies, and just, you know, I mean, a lot of people forget a lot of stuff was from here, man. The CBS studio was here in Detroit, so they had radio, TV, whatever you want to call it. You go and listen to the radio. And they would explain it to you like it was TV.
Right.
And eventually they had TV and they had a lot of shows coming here. Like Soupy Sales was really big, you know. He started a lot of TV on, you know, children's programming and stuff like that. you know, was until really, I mean, it was really the mainstay of like a lot of stuff that Hollywood ended up getting later on. They created Hollywood. Nobody's from Hollywood. Everybody's moved to Hollywood.
Right.
You know? And then obviously some people were there, but not many.
Well, remember the effect of the VHS when it came out and you could play stuff and record it, but you had your own tapes.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. They sold it to you, and you're like, wow, now I can watch The Love Boat and record it because I'm going to eat, you know, veal parmesan at my my Aunt Zia's house, you know, so you can use it, you know, and we had that where you can own your own tapes and record over them.
Oh, yeah.
What's that, you know, now, that kids these days don't know that. They know with the phone.
No, exactly.
Right? I mean, this is obviously...
This was gold back in the 90s. I have a cassette tape player, and on the other side I can record cassette tapes. So if you had one of those, man, you were one lucky individual because you were banging out tapes, mixtapes. And, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is something, this is from our time, but it's like, yeah, whatever. I know that.
Yeah.
I've experienced it, but it's a foreign concept now with media being killed off.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying when Bill Hurd, right? Yeah, right.
Bill Hurd, yeah.
Yeah, when he was talking about it earlier, thank you for preserving history. That people aren't going to know nothing about. They don't understand. Like, hey, man, this is where it came. I mean, that's with music too. I mean, there's so many historical roots in Detroit that nobody even really knows about the history of music in Detroit. I mean, they know Motown, and they really don't even know about Motown. Motown, really, a lot of people don't even know that Motown wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for a backing band of Motown.
Right.
You know, if they didn't have the backing band, you wouldn't have Motown. It was a bunch of singers. They didn't play any instruments. it's like that when America's Got Talent, you know, and it's coming out there. They're singing it, but there's somebody behind them playing the music. You know, and that was the Funk Brothers, man. That was the band.
You know what? I'm going to take you up on putting a video together because I should send you some of my AI music.
Yeah.
You know, and put it together with some video because the filters won't know what to think of this.
Yeah.
You know?
That would be something I'd like to try to even learn some technology on and just have some fun with it. Yeah. But see, I've already got a lot of this stuff right, Cat. You know, I'm already ahead of the curve when I was doing the crazy visuals back in the day. And now they're just doing AI technology and they're inventing it for you.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I mean, it's just. It's gonna like I said, I'm not ever downing technology because that's what I'm around, and it's always gotta move forward. But like I said, you always got some guy with the hyper button. You know, it's like he's gonna blow up the world, or somebody's gonna get all other robots are gonna go crazy.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But I mean, that's gonna happen, man. I mean, literally, they've already had people getting attacked. Robots.
Yeah.
Dude,
oh my God.
That's a sign, man. You should have been listening to the Terminator, man. He was giving you the sign. Now the dogs are attacking you.
Oh, gee.
Like, shut down the system, man.
That's what happened with RoboCop. That's what happened when they brought in Ed 209 in the boardroom.
Think about the chemical warfare.
Yeah.
I'm like, robots attack, man. And so.
Yeah, the in the RoboCop scene with Ed 209. In the boardroom, they asked for a board member to volunteer to do an armed robbery. So he gives them the gun, and then Ed 209 comes in and starts firing at him, and the guy's trying to rip out the motherboard.
Yeah.
And then the guy said to the CEO, it's a glitch.
Yeah, the guy just died.
The guy just died in RoboCop, and he goes, you call this a glitch?
That's right, man. So.
And then the other guy says, we've got something stronger. His name's RoboCop.
Yeah.
He's like, can you have it done in 9 months? Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, Larry, like I said, man, it's quite interesting, you know. I mean, and like I said, it's interesting like how technology kind of went. Because, man, we were right there in the curve. I mean, you couldn't have been more in the curve, literally.
Total Recall, Blade Runner.
I watched. We go from tape
you know, what we used to call big tape, 3/4-inch tape,
yeah.
And down to Super VHS, which made it more convenient, and it's better than VHS. And then you got down to, you know, high eight tapes and HDV, you know. And then you have the from tape into non-linear editing, you know, which the toaster was the original besides Advid. And I don't think Advid had anything because they never used the stuff like the toaster had. And toaster was great, you know. But then you had Macintosh basically came along, Commodore went the way of Commodore, you know. They still make good games. You know?
Yeah, but you really fell with the Amiga, Commodore,
they,
the next
they
generation.
Commodore went the best way because it was games.
Yeah, well, but you really felt like these people were listening to you.
Oh, yeah.
You worked with the Commodore and the Amiga because you're an artist, your video, your music, your gaming, and, and these people knew that they've got tools that you can use. To be a filmmaker, to be a songwriter, to be an author, to be a programmer, etc., 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 etc.
The social program alone, it got you at least in the depths of, like, not only different, you know, with graphics and stuff like that, which made it great, wipes, you know, stuff like that, transitions, or wipes were transitions. And then they had, like, luminance and stuff like that, and Lightwave, which got you into... basic building of, you know, different niches. My buddy, and I helped him a little bit on it, was he was building the Sega games on the Amiga with Lightwave at the time.
Oh, really?
So, oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to, that's where they used to base him around. He used to do the Sega games. There's big dinosaurs down there at the Michigan Mile.
Yeah,
so he used to build them on Lightwave. And that was interesting because, like I said, you go and you build, like, one dinosaur or whatever it was, you wait like 2 days for the thing to render. Then you go back and then something be out of quack, you know, and you had to go back and do it again. Oh, dude, the hell. It was crazy. I mean, nowadays it's like, now you just put skin on the dinosaur and call it a day. You know, throw it in front of a couple, you know, different green screen backgrounds and I've got a video for TikTok.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, literally. I mean, I remember him doing those Sega dinosaurs, you remember, they had those, they were like, whatever it was like the Star Wars thing, with the guns on the side.
Yeah.
And he'd make those, and we'd sit there, and I'd just help out if I could, because I wasn't too much into it. I was more like 2D animation. You know, I did a lot of 2D animation stuff. That was my thing. I did more like along that lines, and then he did the 3D, because I couldn't handle it. It was like, you got to build all this stuff, and then wrap it, and you had to light it. Like, you had like different... It was just like, what's the main one now that you always talk about that does all that for you? Everybody's into it now, but Hollywood has it.
Unreal?
What is it?
Unreal?
Unreal, yeah, exactly. That's what Lightwave was. It was like Unreal, but literally it was the supersonic downsized version of it that took forever to render, and literally you had the opportunity to light it and, you know...
You know, literally, you could just be you and Kelly Jean and model you. You could model each other in the software, and you could do your shows.
We could. We're like, thinking about doing maybe a show where we're going to switch. Like, we're going to switch. Like, she's going to be me. We're going to AI it. I'll be her.
Oh, really?
But she's going to be me and the strong people. Yeah, we're going to do something like that. We got some creative stuff coming up, but we're going to do a theme night where we're going to have... me and her is all in the family, so we're gonna do something as a tribute to Norman Lear and some of his
program. Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So we're gonna do some fun stuff. We're gonna start off with me and her singing the song at the beginning, because people forget I'm a singer.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So we're gonna go, but she's a better singer. So sure. Yeah, we got a guy who actually knows how to play the song. So he's going to come out. He's going to play the song. And we're going to sing the song.
Boys made the hit parade.
Yeah.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Yeah. Those were the days. He actually, you know, it was a really interesting thing. If you ever get a chance to see it, there's a Sumiage Shares episode. And they had Carol O'Connor on. And everybody knows the beginning song to that because he sings the song. But then there's the outro song, which is just as fun. Well, he came out and he made words to that song and he sang it. He actually asked the composer if he could put some words to it, and he actually sang it on the Sonny and Cher show.
Oh,
so
really?
Google that up. It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's a pretty cool song. So.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Norman Lear, yeah, I haven't gotten around to the episode. You know.
Yeah, he's not from Detroit, though.
Yeah.
I don't care about you. A lot of people don't know. Lucille Ball's from Detroit area. Yeah, she's from Detroit. A lot of people don't know that. She was in too long. Tom Selleck, obviously. He's from Detroit.
Yes.
Yeah, Tom Selleck's from Detroit. Yeah, that's why I always wear that Detroit head cap. His family's from Detroit. My grandparents used to, like, be friends with the Selleck's way back in the day. My granddad knew everybody because he drove a bus.
Oh,
that was
cool.
The way you traveled. Like, back in the day, everybody rode the bus. Nobody wants to ride the bus in the car, right?
Yeah.
Back in the day, that's how you got around. So he knew everybody. He knew Nick Mantle. He knew, like, everybody, man. Because they all took the bus. He was telling me one day, he was getting all pissed off because that was his name. He called him, his name was Jacobs. His daughter married, what the hell is his name? Phil Donahue. But his her dad. I can't remember. He's, like, in charge of all the children's hospitals. Danny something like that. I can't think of his name right now, but. My granddad knew him as Amos Jacobs. He's like, that's not Danny. Oh, it's Danny Thomas. Marlo Thomas was his daughter. So Danny Thomas, his real name was Amos Jacobs. So every time he sees Danny Thomas on TV, he's like, that's not Danny Thomas, that's Amos Jacobs. So that was the whole thing. I'm like, all right, cool. You know his name. Why don't you get any money out of him while you're talking to him? But anyways, but yeah, man. I always loved it. Art too, man. A lot of people don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to come back and do another one, part two, another time. So,
yeah,
bro. Thanks for taking time. And
Man. Thank you.
I don't know if you've checked out the new episodes, but yeah, check them out.
Send them my way, man. I'm gonna share them. Just send me the time when you're done with them. I'll make sure I get them out there.
Thank you, bro. Happy New Year.
Thank you, brother. Happy New Year. Hello to the family as always.
Thank you too, brother.
Love out to Minnesota. And
love out to Detroit.
All right, man. See you, brother.
See you, brother.
Take care.
Absolute all.